Afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for today's brand new Healthline 3, where we like to focus on ways to live a healthier and a pain-free life. In just a couple of minutes from now, we're going to be taking your questions and answering any question that you may have. So we're going to be opening up those phone lines in just a couple of minutes from now. So pick up the phone, give us a call, 318-219-4569, completely free of charge. And today, we are proud to have in studio today, Dr. Milan Modi with the Orthopedic Clinic at Willis-Knighton. Dr. Modi, thank you so much for being here today, sir.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
And certainly is a pleasure. Again, it is the big focus of this show is to answer any questions that our viewers will have when it comes to living a healthier and a pain-free life. We have all kind of things to show people today and some cool little displays here, some full screen graphs. We're going to be showing some people to really give them a good understanding of today's topic. So what does that happen to be today?
So we're going to talk about cervical myelopathy. Mm-hmm. And how to diagnosis, what the symptoms are, how we treat it.
Cervical myelopathy.
That's right, cervical myelopathy.
Yeah, so let's just jump into that, exactly what that is. Okay. And why, one thing in our little tease here that we did during on our KTBS News Midday is the fact of why I said it was so timely is people could be living with this and not even know it.
That's correct.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So many of the symptoms are silent, which means they don't have pain, but they have some loss in function that they just attribute to aging and those things. So let's break down the word cervical, which means the neck. It's the neck region mm-hmm. of the spine. So if you bring up slide number two, that'll show you the neck or the... So your viewers can see that this is an image of the neck. You'll see the brain as well as the spinal cord that's coming down from the brain. Mm-hmm. So the neck is composed of seven bones, and there's disc spaces that are in between the bones mm-hmm. as cushions. Then the spinal cord goes through the neck and sends signals to your arms and legs. And that's why this is a very crucial element of your nervous system. And that's why damage to this area can lead to problems with your arms and legs. Mm-hmm. Myelopathy means an injury, inflammation, or disease of the spinal cord. And in this case, the spinal cord in the neck. This injury is gradual and chronic over many, many months to years. Not an injury that happens at, let's say, a football injury or a horseback rider falls off, or motorcycle injury. That's a very acute injury. Happens, mm-hmm. Very rapidly, and those symptoms come on very rapidly. These symptoms come on very slowly.
I'm sure that makes it harder for the person living with this to be able to even I mentioned so many people live with this and don't even know it. But I'm sure when something is so gradually onsetting like that, that has to only make things more difficult for that person to determine that's what that is.
That's correct.
So as a physician, as a doctor in your position, how do you even go about determining that that's what this person is living with?
So number one is a clinical evaluation. So seeing the patient, asking what their symptoms are, mm-hmm. Performing a specialized neurological exam, as well as imaging. So we can get further imaging to diagnose the severity of the problem. So mm-hmm. is it mild, moderate, severe, based on the imaging, as well as based on the symptoms. As we discussed the symptoms, if the viewers are having these symptoms, it's a good idea to call their primary care doctor or call our clinic at 212-3610 for evaluation.
Let's talk about that real fast. Now that we're talking about the symptoms, with something that is so gradual like that, where does it typically start? And if those symptoms go undiagnosed, where could this end up down the road?
Yes. If you bring up slide number four, that'll show you the symptoms. So we're looking at the symptoms, which we discussed earlier, that they can be silent, mm-hmm. which means without pain, or they can have some associated pain, such as the neck pain, neck stiffness, arm pain. One of the earliest signs of cervical myelopathy is sort of a lack of coordination, the loss in balance when they're walking. Mm-hmm. As we discussed earlier, the spinal cord in the neck has to send signals from the brain down into your arms and legs. So that's where the leg issues comes in.
Wow.
So patients can have leg numbness and weakness. Sometimes it gets to the point of leg weakness to the point where they're using a walker or even a wheelchair. They can also have handwriting changes. We're using pens and paper a lot less nowadays, but they have trouble texting or using their phone. Sometimes their handwriting changes gets to the point where they looks worse than a doctor's handwriting.
Oh, wow.
There's things, it's all about hand dexterity. So mm-hmm. if a patient says, look, they can't drop, they're dropping things like a fork or a coffee mug, or they can't button a button, zipper, do their hair, tie a beautiful tie like you have on.
Well, thank you, sir. Yeah.
So those are the symptoms we're talking about. They start complaining of that. And that's a good thing to sort of be aware of for yourself as well as your loved ones. So if you start seeing a patient who is always a good dresser like yourself and they start wearing t-shirts and sweatshirts because they just can't tie their tie anymore, can't do their buttons, that's them accommodating those changes and coping with those changes rather than addressing those changes and why they're having those symptoms.
So what happens if someone, you know, down the line there, they ignore that? You mentioned that the fact that they start scaling things back in their life because, you know, they just can't do that anymore. But I guess what is the worst case scenario? If they don't get to their doctor, if they don't come in to see you with this, what happens?
So the worst case scenario would be where they start having muscle loss in their hands. They cannot turn even a doorknob. I had a patient who couldn't even turn a key in their car.
Wow.
Or change the gears. And he was a commercial truck driver.
Wow, geez.
These things can start affecting normal people like you and me. They can affect our elderly patients as well from 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Mm-hmm. Last year, we had a spate of cardiologists who found that they were getting weak in their hands when they're doing their performing the procedures.
Wow.
And came in for evaluation. I've had several years ago, we had a spate of dentists and dental hygienists who were having the same issues in terms of manual dexterity.
Yeah.
Performing their job.
But these are some important jobs. I mean, you're talking, you know, this isn't someone just signing a check and scribbling it and say, oh, I'm done with that for the day.
That's right.
This is someone's livelihood.
That's correct.
Yeah. Wow. So when you start to identify the likelihood that someone is going to get this, a lot of times in the world of health, genetics plays such a big thing. With cervical myelopathy, is this something that, you know, you ask, is this something your father had, your mother? Does it go down with genes like so much of our health issues do?
So it's not 100% genetics, mm-hmm. but there is definitely a genetic component to spinal conditions. So if your grandmother or grandfather or parents or siblings sometimes have had the same condition, there's a higher likelihood that you could have same condition. Not 100% that you'll have it, but a higher likelihood. So there's definitely patients who I've worked on, then they tell me that their brother or sister, mom, dad had a very similar condition as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times when we've worked on three brothers in the same family with the same condition.
Wow. Jeez. It seems anytime you deal with so many parts of our body, for me, it's like, wow, if you got a problem there, that's scary. I mean, for me, it's pretty much any part of the body if you have a major problem. For me, it's it's a little scary, but it seems like when you talk about your neck, your spine, and especially your spinal column, that really, for me, jumps out like, wow, this is something that if you know there's an issue, you need to take seriously. Is that the case, I'm sure?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I think we can turn to slide number, slide number six. You'll see what I mean. MRI is the most preferred diagnostic method for imaging for mm-hmm. cervical myelopathy. You'll see on the left-hand side, that's a normal spinal cord of the neck. And on the right-hand side, you'll see the
wow.
abnormal, and you'll see how it's getting, to use layman's terms, crushed.
Yeah.
You know, our terminology would be compression or stenosis. And there's an area there that barely any of the spinal cord is being allowed to go through, as well as the spinal fluid. The white around the spinal cord around the on the left-hand picture is the spinal fluid, but on the right-hand side you'll see that the white spinal fluid is barely getting trickling through in the areas of the compression.
When you look at everything behind that, I mean, when pointing out that fluid that you just did, it kind of looks like a nice, it's just, I mean, layman's terms, a nice smooth, clear river running smoothly on that left-hand side. You look at the right, it just looks all jammed up. Now, Dr. Modi, explain what all of that is behind on that right-hand image right there, behind that river that should be flowing smoothly there. What is that? What exactly is putting that pressure on to kind of jam that up?
So the compression in the spinal cord for cervical myelopathy comes from bones, discs, and ligaments. So that's what that is. That's just, as you said, jamming that spinal cord up.
Yeah.
And that's what we sort of address when we talk about how to treat it. You know? In fact, if we go to slide 7, you'll see some more examples of the same spinal cord compression that we're talking about on different patients. And you'll see different patients have different pathology in different levels of the pathology. You know, so not everybody is the same, of course.
Sure.
And you'll see that some even skip a level of compression and then come back down to compression again. So again, I put the normal on the left-hand side, abnormal in the middle, and then abnormal again on the right-hand side.
Wow. Yeah, for me, it's, you know, when you look at something like this, and I'm so glad you brought these images to us so we can point it out. It's one thing for us to talk about it, but when you really look at these images, for me, I'm just like, how does this person even walk? You know, how are they able to have this type of function, motor skill wise? I mean, you're talking about it affects someone's writing, but you know, we saw those images there a second ago. You know, down the road, I'm sure, you know, loss of motor function is probably really inhibited with this.
Oh, definitely. We've had patients, in fact, that the very first image I showed you, it was a lady who was ambulatory, functioning, doing everything she liked to do, and then fell down at home, and for a week she was in a wheelchair. That she couldn't walk, couldn't use her legs, very poor function of her arms. So when she came in, she got, you know, we evaluated in the clinic, we admitted her that same day, got all the preoperative workup done, medical and cardiac checkup done in the hospital. And then she ended up having surgery to treat the spinal cord compression at the same time. So within a matter of 3 days, we went through the entire process of getting her medically optimized and then treating her. And then she went on to rehab and then walked with a walker. And then ultimately, 2 years later, she's walking without a walker and going back to her independent function.
That's fantastic. She was on the brink of something just completely life-changing in the wrong sort of way, but she's able to get in there and get that help, so she's getting back to her feet, quite literally.
That's right.
So, wow, that's awesome, and we'd love to hear those types of stories. Well, I'll tell you what, it's time for us to now open up the phone lines, and if you got a question for Dr. Modi, they're open right now, 318-219-4569. It's what this Healthline is all geared towards, getting some answers that you may have. If you have some issues with your neck, some neck pain, or anything like that, give us a call right now with Dr. Modi. And today's topic, again, is cervical myelopathy. Let's go right to the phone line. Suzanne, good afternoon. What's your question for Dr. Modi?
Well, actually, I don't have a question. I'm a former patient, and I just wanted to let people know the problems that I had. I had severe pain in my left shoulder and down my arm, and with numbness and weakness. And a friend recommended Dr. Modi to me, and ended up going in, getting x-rays and MRI, and it was determined that I needed surgery. As soon as I had surgery, I was 100% better. I had no pain, no numbness, everything went away. So, and this was in November of 2021, and I've not had any issues since. So if anybody has those symptoms, this is what it is. I kept thinking it was my shoulder. It ended up being my neck. So.
Wow. Well, that's great to hear.
That was very nice to hear. Thank you,
yeah.
Suzanne.
Yeah. And Suzanne,
you're welcome.
If you don't mind.
Thank you, Dr. Modi, for
Suzanne, I'd just like to ask you a question. Where did it start for you? When you said it was your shoulder, you had shoulder pain, you started going in. How did you, what was the next step until you ended up with Dr. Modi?
Well, I actually thought it was my shoulder, and I was going to try to go in to see my family doctor to figure out where I needed to go, and a friend of mine had suggested that it might be my neck and that I should get in to see somebody, and she had recommended Dr. Modi. I think she had seen him previously, too. And so I went in not thinking it was my neck at all. I kept thinking it was my shoulder. And I'd already had carpal tunnel surgery on that side. So I just never dreamed that it was my neck. And it ended up being that my neck was severe. I had severe degenerative disc disease in addition to the nerve issues. And so it was recommended that in order to get rid of the pain, that I needed to probably have neck surgery. And I did. And I've been 100% with no problems since then. So
that is awesome.
And it was probably one of the it was one of the easiest surgeries I've ever had. Let's put it that way.
Wow. All right. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for calling. I tell you what, I've done Healthline several times now, and you know, these are my favorite calls to take, even if it's not a question, to tell us how it impacted you in such a positive way. So thank you very much.
Well, and thank you, and thanks, Dr. Modi. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. That doesn't make you feel good, hearing those kinds of things.
Very good. That's what we do, what we do.
Yeah.
To get patients back to function. As we discussed earlier, some of these symptoms can be attributed to different things, like the shoulder, carpal tunnel, or sometimes patients say, oh, I'm just getting older, you know, I'm aging, you know, or just arthritis, and I can't do certain things with my hands anymore. So I think I'm glad Suzanne's friend was wise enough or knew to get her in for evaluation.
Yeah.
We often will have shoulder surgeons or shoulder specialists send patients to us because they find it's not their shoulder, it's the patient's neck.
Wow.
And that's one of the reasons why we're having this discussion.
Sure.
Today to sort of tell your viewers, you know, the symptoms to be aware of and to get an evaluation either with their primary care doctor or call our clinic at 212-3610.
Yeah, that is fantastic too. And so many times I have heard sitting down with doctors, some of the smartest minds, including yourself, Dr. Modi's, them talking about their patients and them walking away feeling better, but also saying, I should have done this much sooner. You know, dealing with pain, I could have addressed this much sooner by seeing someone like Dr. Modi. All right, let's go back to the phone lines right now. I believe we have Donna. Donna, good afternoon. What's your question for Dr. Modi?
Good afternoon, Dr. Modi. I am 66 years old, and I went in June to a chiropractor and was diagnosed with extreme scoliosis. And it's more than 30%. It's like around my heart, up in the upper part of my chest. And the reason I really went, I've been having scoliosis pretty much all my life. I was diagnosed with it back in the 80s. And I didn't know how extreme it was until I started. After I turned 65, I started having severe pains down, shooting pains down my arm. And if I go out and do the laundry or cut my grass or work on my house or whatever, I'm single, I don't have a husband up. I'd have to be in a chair 2 days and my back would just be, it would be like bursting, like, you know, just like burst. The pain would just, it'd keep going. It's not constant pain. It's like it would throb and throb. So I went to a doctor in Homer, and he diagnosed me with that, which I'm contemplating coming to see you because I just recently signed up for Blue Cross Blue Shield, and your name is on the doctor's list. But I'm not really sure what's all involved with the surgery. So I need to, and plus I have it in the middle part of my, like around my stomach too. I have it two spots. So I just don't know what you would suggest. I mean, I need to come see you, which I'm going to do. But I Googled, I know you hate to hear this, but I Googled the surgery, and they said like 7 to 10 days in the hospital. Is that true?
So Donna, yeah, those are all very good questions. I think the first thing we'll do is start with an evaluation. You know, number one, see you in clinic, get imaging, do a physical exam, and then of course imaging to see, number one, if you need surgery. Number two, if you do need surgery, then normally we, at least I start with the process of optimizing the patient medically. So we would get a preoperative medical checkup with their primary care doctor, sometimes their cardiologist, and sometimes if any lung conditions, then we get a pulmonary evaluation as well. So we medically optimize you. The other step, something as major as cervical myelopathy or the scoliosis you're discussing, is sitting down with you and your family or a caretaker or a friend, whoever is going to be helping you after surgery, and having a frank discussion about the do's and don'ts, how long it takes. But with scoliosis surgery, to answer your question specifically, it is a 5 to 7 day process in the hospital, and then you go to a rehab facility for another 7 to 14 days. Again, these are we spend a great deal of time in the clinic educating the patients preoperatively and their family with handouts as well as our instructions and everything. So it's not something we enter into lightly, and we don't want the patient to enter into it lightly either.
Yeah, because my torso and my whole middle part of my body is like popped, like, you know, like it affects my right side, but my left side is all bulged out. You know, I don't have a normal body, and it's crazy. You know, so I really want to come see. I went down Uri Drive. I went to your clinic the other day, and I talked to the little nurse up at the window, and she said that you really are backed up real bad, like 3 months to come and see you. And I just want to get my, I don't really know what my options are, because I don't have a husband, don't have a boyfriend, nothing like that. I have to rely on other people to take care of my dog and me and myself too. So, you know, I have a friend that's in, that's a teacher. So she can be out, you know, June, July, you know, to help me with my dogs and myself. And so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to make an appointment after all this bad rain and stuff gets out the way. And, just so you can see, you know, evaluate me and see what all is needed.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you, Donna. And then if you call today again, 212-3610, and just tell them, you know, that you talked to me on KTBS, we'll make that wait time shorter. Just give us a call at 212-3610.
Yeah, that's very nice. Well, Donna, good luck with that, certainly. And that's why we want to have Dr. Modi on today. Of course, he is with the Orthopedic Clinic at Willis-Knighton. And you were breaking that down there, Dr. Modi, about the treatment options there. You were saying, or did you happen to say, that it's a three-step process there? Is that common, the decompression surgery? And if so, you know, Donna was kind of focusing on the weeks that it may take, but you know, this is a major surgery. More importantly, it gets major results for people.
That's right. So I think, so Donna's was discussing more of the scoliosis surgery, which is in the lower back and mid back. In terms of cervical myelopathy, if you'll put up slide number 8, we'll sort of inform the viewers of the surgery for that. Cervical myelopathy is one of the few spinal conditions that we see where surgery is recommended more often than not, especially when patients have moderate to severe symptoms or moderate to severe spinal cord compression, as you saw in those images earlier.
Sure.
But again, we don't enter into surgery lightly for the patients. It's not minor or major, it is surgery, and so we want to make sure they're medically optimized. So getting a preoperative medical or cardiac clearance is a good idea. And then an open and frank discussion with the patient, their family or caretaker is important. Many of these surgeries are now done with one night stay in the hospital, the next surgeries. Some on patients who are younger, and if they only have one or two levels of compression, they can be done as an outpatient as well. Sometimes when those patients who are in a wheelchair or walker have a lot of leg weakness, those are the ones that require prolonged hospital stay and maybe a rehab facility stay, where we have to utilize physical therapy and occupational therapy to kind of as adjunct to help us improve the patient's weakness, function, and recovery.
Yeah, and that totally makes sense, because not only are you recovering from the initial surgery, but there's so much more to it. You need to stabilize everything around that, you know, stabilize certain body parts that maybe didn't even have that type of movement before the surgery. So that definitely makes a lot of sense.
That's correct.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines. That number to call is 318-219-4569. Larry on the line right now. Larry, what's your question for Dr. Modi?
I was going to say that I've been going through pain management for my neck. I mean, I have pinched nerves between C3 and C4, C5 and C5 and C6. Now, I didn't know I had this problem until I had a TIA back in 2020, ended up in the hospital. So I started asking questions about it, and, you know, I wasn't even sure what was going on, but, and then you explained, you know, when you're out walking and you feel like you're drunk, or people may think you're drunk because you'd be staggering, and, but the pain management has been helping my neck, but it hasn't done nothing for the staggering, and I have, sometimes I'll lose my balance, but I've been lucky and I haven't fallen yet.
That's right. I think, Larry, one of the things that pain management helps you is with the pain, hence the name, mm-hmm. pain management. The injection, those kind of things will help with the pain, and sometimes we feel like in cervical myelopathy cases, it can mask the problem. So if the patient feels like the pain is better, then they sort of don't seek the evaluation with a spine specialist, nor get the treatment that they need. But especially if you're having that sort of balance issue, the lack of coordination, the loss of hand dexterity, unfortunately those injections and pain medications do not help that area at all. Mm-hmm. So definitely it would be important to get a thorough neurological examination, see a spine specialist, and get the proper imaging to consider the treatment options besides the spinal injections, which are only helping the pain and not the function or the coordination and the mm-hmm. walking for Larry.
Pretty interesting there. And Larry pointed something out that we touched on a little earlier, is the fact that people may be living with cervical myelopathy and not even know it, not even know what route they need to go down. So Dr. Modi, what is, sometimes people don't know what the first step is in order to getting there, to getting into your office. Is it just talking to their primary care physician and at least get the ball rolling? Or just explain what that first step should be.
Sure. The first step is, number one, accepting you have some of those symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Or if your loved one has it, you know, that's the other thing, is if you look for your loved one having it, and then discussing that with your primary care doctor, and or you can call us directly as well. But I think the primary care doctor, you know, would like to be involved in the process, so asking them for a referral to us is not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Alternatively, they can call us directly if they don't have a primary care doctor at 212-3610.
Okay, fantastic. And one question, too. I know some folks out there probably have. They do every single time we do a Healthline. People are concerned about the cost. Is this treatment something that would be covered by insurance?
Most definitely. This is a very well-known condition for health insurance companies. When the imaging does show the moderate to severe spinal cord stenosis, they easily cover the costs for the not only the evaluation and the imaging, but also the surgery when necessary and the rehab stay.
Well, that's fantastic. So there shouldn't be any reservations for people, regardless of what you say with the surgery, whether that's needed or not. Getting in to see you, if this is something they fear that they have, should definitely be on their radar.
Definitely.
Okay, fantastic. Also, too, Dr. Modi, are you taking patients at this time? I know you're a popular guy, and if so, how can people reach out to their office? Where can be located, and how can they call you?
Yeah, we see new patients all the time.
Great.
You know, over 90% of our patients that we see do not need surgery for general neck and back pain.
Yeah.
But for cervical myelopathy, it's a different story. Mm-hmm. You know, that those are the ones, if they're moderate to severe, then surgery is recommended for those. But for just general neck and back sprains or pain, majority of that's treated with physical therapy and injections. They can reach out to us at 212-3610, but we see new patients every day, including this afternoon.
Yes, fantastic, too. And mentioned, too, you saw him on KTBS on our Healthline, Dr. Milan Modi with the Orthopedic Clinic at Willis-Knighton. Thank you for your time, doctor.
Thank you.
Another great Healthline.